Janet Jackson has given me hope. Right?
IKR, I know, right? Is a podcast about women for women. Hosts Allie and Latasha, along with special guests, explore the hidden world and narratives going on inside the heads of everyday women. What makes them tick and how they wrestle with stuff like God, work, family, friends, success, failures, coffee, and Netflix. Real conversations with real women. Let's go. Hey, ladies, I have times in my life where I am just tired. Not all the time, but there are times when I am just tired. And I don't know if you feel like that, but there are just things that I need in my life that give me rest. I have a friend named Courtney who's here, and what I love about Courtney is that she thinks about rest in a way that is so unique from our normal culture, and I'd love for you to hear what she has to say about it. This is the one about rest and Janet Jackson.
So my name is Courtney Walton, and I am a volunteer at Crossroads. So I volunteer on the music team here, and I'm actually starting a new job next Monday. So right now I'm just resting.
Okay, so you worked in addictions treatment.
Yes.
Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Why were you there? What did you do? Mm-hmm. Why did you like it or love it or hate it?
So my job initially was like pastoral counseling with women who were walking out of a life of addiction. My job was to come in to aid them in the process of being restored. You know, what practical needs do you need help with? Do you need help finding housing or childcare? What do you need to, what does your spirit need? Like, what are you lacking? What will help you to not just be rebuilt, but to stay on a course of like freedom? My job was to remind them that they were not permanently broken, but that they could achieve wholeness again.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. It's easy to see how a job like that would take a lot from you.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about the toll that that took on you and your life and how you had put your life together, and specifically about how you used your time?
Yeah. So that kind of work, you leave it at work, like in a sense, but it lingers. I left as much work at work as I could, but thoughts about these women or thoughts about what was my job and my role and how I could help them, or just the heaviness of it, it was easy to take that home. There was a blurred line between work and home. There were just so many reports. There were so many things that you had to get done, and you had deadlines that you had to meet, or bills wouldn't get paid, or patients might not get helped. And so there was this extra pressure of you have to get things done. Like you always, it felt like I always had to be on. To be quite honest, I recall a couple days where I was just in the office and I closed my door and I broke down crying. And I was just like, Jesus, I can't do this. I don't know why you have me here. I don't know how you are going to get me through this, but I know I can't do this. So what do you want me to do? Mascara was everywhere. And I was like, I got to see patients. Shoot. Okay, pull it together. But there was like this back and forth of like, let it go. Okay, pull yourself back together. Let it go. And that didn't feel right either. But I think that's just how I dealt with it in the moment, is those breaking point moments.
So you would build up and build up and build up the responsibilities and the different roles you were playing. And then you would have a break.
Yep.
So what happened to change that pattern in your life? Because I know it's different today. So I think that's a common story with a lot of women, just feeling like the glue that holds everything together.
Yep.
And if I break, it all falls apart.
Yep.
And that's a heavy, heavy weight.
Yeah, honestly, which this is probably not going to sound mind-blowing, but when I had those few breaking points, I felt like God, looking back now, I know he was doing something internally, because what I always knew before then is you work your way out of these situations. Like, okay, what can I do to not do that again? Okay, let me buy a new shiny planner. I've got like 50 nice planners. I'm like, oh, that one is better because the tabs look like that. And maybe if I follow that, then I'll have more order. But, you know, I would buy planners. I would Google how to have order in your life. I would do all of these things. I know it was a hot mess. I was like, okay, I can fix this. How do I fix this? And I felt like I was getting nowhere. Like for the first time, it felt like silent in that area. And I was like, why is God not answering me? I'm trying to fix this. I'm like, oh, I'm trying to fix this. That's the problem. And so where there was silence and I thought he wasn't helping me, it was actually, I think, him pausing, like pressing the pause button and being like, okay, it's about to be me and you face to face, and you're going to listen, and you're just going to be. You're not going to do anything. You can't work your way to a place of rest and peace. It wasn't about me finding these things that would work. It was about me asking questions and really doing some internal work to see, why is rest important? What's happening in my life? Why does this continue to be a pattern versus, okay, I'm going to fix this. I equated it to like trying to lose weight. That has been a lifelong struggle. And it's like, okay, I'm going to find this new thing that's going to work. But it's been a roller coaster. And I think the same thing happened with rest. So instead of me trying to find the perfect formula or the perfect solution, it was more of, why is this important? Why does God say this is important? What am I doing that's getting in the way of this? This is a pattern. Is there anything I can do that can change things even just a little bit? What can be a small change that I can do? And then there was a verse, Hebrews 6:12. It says, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Mm. And so I began to ask, where do I need to be patient? Where do I need to endure?
And how would you describe what you were really after with the former patterns? You'd work real hard, mm-hmm. you'd have this breaking point, and then you'd go, I know how to fix it.
Yep.
I've got some chaos, I'm all over the place, but now I've got a new planner.
Yeah.
What do you think you were after with the new planner?
I think I was after order and structure, thinking that if I had those, things would just be better. You know?
And what's better? Calmer,
calmer,
rest,
quieter,
not as exhausted. What are some of the things that you were really after for yourself?
I think I thought if I have these things in place, then life will be easier. Life won't be as noisy. Life will be less roller coaster-y. No, yeah. That's not a word.
So basically, like, if I could get my together, then life will be easier and I'll be able to, like, put my feet up or actually yes. read a book I want to read or see a friend I want to see.
Yep.
The stuff you never have time for.
Absolutely. In okay. order for me to get there, I have to do things okay. to get me there.
And what did you find out instead?
That was a hot mess. And that was not at all possible.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh.
So the planner didn't work.
Oh,
the
girl.
New gold tabs did not work.
The gold tabs did not work. They're yeah. cute, but they didn't work. Not for me.
I love a good new planner.
Me too.
I mean,
I bless the people that create them.
Painful for me to move
them.
To an iPhone calendar because I just love the
I know.
Planner.
But well, that's what
I'm
I,
on board
yes.
now. I've been there for a while.
I love yeah. planners.
I know.
But I know the iPhone is great too. But for me, that was not the thing. What I felt like God was saying is, he gave me this analogy. It's like I took my car in for work and they're like, okay, we have to, you know, fix a couple things. But this could be a surface issue or it might be an internal issue. So what we have to do is take everything apart to see which one it is, and then we'll be able to really fix it. When I was thinking about that, though, in the spiritual sense, I thought, oh, okay, I've been fixing surface issues when there was an internal problem. Mm-hmm. God needed to take things apart to do some heart surgery in me. And honestly, it wasn't about my pretty planner. It wasn't about order. Those things are great. I think God is a God of order. The reality is you could have the pretty planner. You could have order. Your schedule could be great. But if you have unrest inside of you internally, this is going to be a cycle. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how well you plan out your day. If your spirit is not at rest, this is going to pop back up.
And how does that feel? How does unrest inside, in your heart, like, how does unrest really feel to you?
I feel like I can't even use words. It's like, ah, ah. It's just like, it's just,
do that again.
Ah. That's what it feels like. It just feels completely chaotic.
So chaos.
Oh, complete chaos.
Anxiety?
Girl, yes.
Anxiety. Okay, a lot of anxiety.
Exhaustion.
Oh. Now we're getting somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Where I'm just like, I feel like I am watching my life. Like I mm-hmm. am in a movie and I'm like, oh yeah, that's my life being lived, but I'm not participating.
You said that you felt like God was really leading you to get in the inside. What's
yep.
the heart problem? Mm-hmm. What's the diagnostic on the inside that's causing this surface stuff?
Yeah.
What did you start to experiment with?
Yeah, it has been really sweet. One of the things that happened was on my way to work, it was probably about a 20-minute drive. I know it was the Lord. I just felt like I was like, hey, you have an old CD in there. So I popped in a worship CD, and no lie, for like 3 weeks, it was the only CD I listened to. I had this revelation where it was like, you know, what you put into your head, what you take in affects you. Not that you can't listen to secular music, but the place that I was in, I think I needed to be overwhelmed with his words and his peace and what he has to say about me and what I need to focus on about him. And that's what this music did. I remember feeling different. Like after a couple weeks, I was like, I haven't done anything. Like, why do I feel different? Interesting. Nothing had changed. Like my schedule was still crazy. I was taking work home. That hadn't changed, but I started to change.
I just keep thinking about your insides. Like you're feeding something different.
Yes.
For mm-hmm. a couple of weeks.
Yep.
It was like a mini experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And you just put different stuff in and it pushed out some of the stuff that was in there.
Yes.
Is that how you think about it?
Oh, that's a great visual.
I just feel like it mm-hmm. sort of like began to crowd out some of the other stuff because it was just bigger or more powerful.
That's exactly what happened. Okay. Oh, that's very accurate. I felt different. And it was a light bulb moment of, yes, if things felt like they were more in order, great. And it's okay to want that. But the deeper thing for me was realizing that those shiny planners and the calendar or my Google calendar, those things could not ever make me feel what I felt in that moment.
So that was an amazing realization.
Oh, huge.
And amazing mm-hmm. beginning. That must have made you want more.
Yeah. Well, that's the other piece of it.
And that CD's going to wear out at some
point. Right, exactly.
I mean, you're going to have your fill of that. So
yes,
what next?
Exactly.
Like, did that create an appetite for something?
That's exactly what happened. Before, my method was, how do I do my way into creating these systems that are going to bring me peace mm-hmm. to how do I experience peace? And that then lead me to desire and crave rest so much that I will get creative mm-hmm. to figure out how to get there. Mm-hmm. And that's where I am now. And it hasn't looked like planner, but it has looked like, okay, I'm not gonna say yes to every single thing. Okay, I need to clean up, but you know what? I'm not gonna try to make this room perfect. I'm going to pick a few things up off the floor. That actually feels restful. And my space is looking cleaner, which makes me feel at rest, but I'm gonna give myself grace in the process and not try to change the world, but I'm gonna do some things. Maybe I'll focus on progress instead of finishing. Maybe that's okay.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of your favorite ways that you're experiencing greater rest, greater peace?
What has been fun is that it has looked different. And I think before I was boxing rest in, like, it has to look like this, or you have to be here, or you need to do this. But now it's like, I might watch Netflix. I might have a day where I turn nothing on, like no electronic thing. And I'm just, you know, asking God, hey, what do you want me to do today? What is it that you want me to receive from you in rest today? And again, asking questions versus coming up with a plan. Mm-hmm. That was huge for me. Just going to him, what do you want rest to look like today? Writing, reading, things that I hadn't made space for. Mm-hmm. Actually having intentional time with friends versus, okay, I got like 5 hours. Maybe I'll see a friend every hour. Because I've done that. It's just being creative. That has been what has worked for me. Not expecting it to look like either what somebody else's rest looks like mm-hmm. or not expecting it to look like what I think this picture perfect day of rest or experience of rest should look like.
Have you had to make any hard decisions? Like, I'm either going to choose rest or I'm going to choose something else.
Oh, yeah. Like every woman, you have either like five people or five things tugging at you, or you have all of these commitments. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that has looked like my family is very important to me and I spend a lot of time with them. But I recently had to like tell my nephew, like, buddy, I can't spend time with you today. And I was like, oh, who doesn't spend time with a child? Like, that's horrible. But I knew like the day before I had planned that day to be a day for me that I needed. And I had to say no to him, which was hard. But I knew that if I said no to him in that moment, I would be a better aunt and a better me to him later. Mm-hmm. But the point is, it's making me think differently about my commitments and what I do, and that I have to prioritize being filled up first.
Do you ever feel guilty when you pick yourself over?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Gosh. I was looking at him like, he's going to go to school and be like, my aunt said no. In my mind, it was just like this. I've created a wound. Does he feel rejected? He was totally fine. And he had a little moment of like, really? But he was fine. Like the next day, I was like, buddy, hey, how was your day? Oh, it was great. And he went through like all this stuff. He wasn't even thinking about me saying I couldn't spend time with him. It's like, okay, Jesus, it's not all about me. Right. Mm-hmm. The world won't fall apart if I say no.
Mm-hmm. So if before you kind of gone through this change, you had things in your head like most women I know have running through their head. Like, if I drop one ball, it all falls apart. I need to be 10 steps ahead of myself.
Yep.
I need to hold my day, my week, my family, my relationships together, you know, tightly so everything doesn't crumble around me. Like, there's a lot of pressure in that. If you had common thoughts like we all do, what has replaced those? What do you hear now that's different?
I hear, it's okay. Things will get done. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, focus on me. That's God saying, focus on me. Like, look at me. And when you keep your eyes focused on me, I will tell you what's most important. Mm-hmm. Like, let me tell you what needs to happen next. Let me tell you when you need to rest and when you need to do something. God can do more in 6 days than you think you can do in seven. Mm-hmm. Me before was trying to squeeze all this time out of every day. I'm like, no, like, He told me to rest. Like, He specifically commanded me to take a day to rest. And I should trust that I'll be able to get done what He wants me to get done. Mm-hmm. Why is this such an issue? And that's when it was like, this is a heart thing. This is not something that can be fixed by systems. Mm-hmm. You've got to do some work of listening and hearing. And then out of that, watch me change your heart and watch me change your focus. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, Jesus.
Courtney, I hear that you have a really interesting living situation. Will you tell us about it?
Yes. So I am 36 and I live in a house of five. There are five women. We're all in our mid-30s who live together, which I know in this world today seems odd. I've even had friends who are like, so you're going to like buy a house soon? Are you going to, which there's nothing wrong with that at all. But for me, I felt called to something different. And so about 7 or 8 years ago, God just gave me a vision for women living together. And He gave me two specific people at the time, and I reached out to them. And then that has grown into a house, a community, a family of women who do life together and we're single. It has been a gift and a gift from God to be able to have this living situation in this season that I'm in. And I think they would say the same thing. What I felt like God was very clear about was He wanted us to have a space for women to feel comfortable, known, for other women to come in and feel invited, to have it be a safe place and for us to do life differently. I lived with a house of women in grad school and it did not look the way it does now. I didn't know Jesus the way I know Him now, I'll say that. So this has been very sweet. That house is an anchor point. We are real women. We are Christian women who we love Jesus, and we are also real. So we listen to Beyonce, Katy Perry. Yes, we have some rock jams. Like, we like Journey. Yes, I like Frankie Beverly and Maze. Anybody? Right. Yes. Right? Get it? Yes. Earth, Wind, and Fire. We have some rap jams in there. I'm not going to lie. We are real people, real women. And we are not perfect, and we don't try to be perfect. And I think that has been refreshing, too. Because years ago, I thought, okay, you're a Christian, and you're a woman. This is what that's supposed to look like. And we blow that stereotype out the window. But it's beautiful because the house is full of women who are so mature in their faith. They are so devoted, and they have great rhythms, and they also like to have fun. We drink wine. We like to laugh, and, you know, we don't take ourselves too seriously. That's the other thing about this house, y'all. We love living together, and we are also going to celebrate when we no longer live together because we have booze. So we're like, Jesus, husband booze. We're not trying to just move in with boyfriends. Right. Let me clarify that. Good. But we are excited, but we have hopes and desires. Janet Jackson has given me hope, right? She,
wait, what?
She had a baby at 50.
I never thought of Janet Jackson as a bringer of hope.
Right, right.
But I mean, it's a whole new picture of her.
That's what I'm saying. Baby at 50. Now, I'm not trying to have that be my story, Jesus. Let me say that. But also, it's nice to know that if it is my story, I won't perish. I will have a child. Hopefully not at 50, though. Jesus, please.
IKR is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. Reach out to us using the hashtag IKR or email us at ikr@crossroads.net. Very special thanks for our music to Mae Klingler. Find her at mayklingler.com and more of her music on Spotify and iTunes. You will not be sorry you did.